Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
First and goal at the Dallas 8. Brady takes the snap. Looks, fires, ends off.
Yeah!
Touchdown!
Oh, yeah!
Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the bat out of the fire. 22 seconds left to play.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
And hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. First one of this Super Bowl week right here, and I'll be with you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. as always right here on Patriots.com. And we have so much to talk about during this two-hour period, and tomorrow and Thursday, some great guests coming up as well today. I've got Paul Schwartz coming up at 4:30. He's one of the writers for the New York Post. Might have to tease him a little bit about that ridiculous the ridiculous headlines that the Post is trying to turn Brady's comments from the little pep rally into, you know, something much more than it was. It's so absurd. I don't know about you guys, but I've had it. I have absolutely had. I'm not surprised. I have had it with the national media. It is beyond embarrassing what is going on. I thought it would be bad. I didn't think it was going to be this bad. And I watched you know, all the shows today, because it's part of doing a good job here, trying to get, because seeing who's going to get an interview, watched all the media days, watched everybody from the Patriots and from the Giants. We'll have some sound for you later on in the show. I'm going to let you hear from some guys you usually don't hear from. I'm going to let you hear from Ocho Cinco in case you missed it, because he didn't have his own podium today. Also, guys like Danny Woodhead, guys that you don't necessarily hear from a lot. But having been to five media days in my life, I can tell you it is the single most stupidest thing on the planet, number one. I do think the players enjoy it because, for the most part, they're not talking serious football. It's a lot of goofiness that goes on. But it really has become, for the most part, it's just a total joke. It's an overrated experience. You don't learn anything, for the most part. Once in a while, you get a funny headline or somebody will get a crack a one-liner. But I am excited about this game, as I have, and now I'm getting really excited because now, you know, last week was, you know, you're still coming off the Baltimore win and you're dissecting and analyze that. Now we're in full Patriots-Giants mode here, and I really believe it's going to be a one-score game either way. I'm going to wait till Thursday, and I'm telling you right now I'm going to pick the Patriots, and I tell you right now the score is going to be under 7 points when I'm going to pick them, but I'll wait till then. I'm going to do my Xbox simulation as well, so you don't worry about that. And I've seen 10, 15 Xbox simulations, and it's the Patriots come out on top like 12 out of the 15 times. But that doesn't mean anything, you know. So I'll do my own. Might have a little fun doing a little. I might do it on a Friday. Do a little play-by-play for my house like I did a couple weeks ago. I cannot believe the response that was going on as I was doing it. I was doing the play-by-play as it was happening. Hysterical. But I think it's a lot of fun. And so maybe I'll do that again on Friday on my Facebook page. But I have had it. I have had it with the, I'm not ripping the Giants because it's not their fault. The national media, the reporters, I'm trying not to sound like, you know, Johnny Homer Patriot here. It has nothing to do with that. I'm not looking for praises, but I cannot believe how so many parts of this game are being left out. It is Giants, 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 and more Giants. It's like, and they making the national media is doing exactly what I told you they were going to do, is make the big mistake of comparing 2007 to this year when it really has got nothing to do with it. It really doesn't. And anybody who tells you otherwise is a fool. Completely different set of circumstances for both teams. The Giants were much more of a running team back then. They're much more of a passing team now. Their defense was much better in 2007 than it is now. Regardless of what you may think, go back and look up the numbers on the entire body of work. Yes, the last couple of weeks, they've been better. And it's how you're playing now. What I don't understand is, and I'm with that, it's how the Giants defense is playing now. It's also how the Patriots defense is playing now. Nobody is talking about it. Nobody. It's like an afterthought. And if people really think that the Giant front seven is going to get all this kind of pressure on Brady. And I'm not saying they won't at times. But don't think for a second that this Patriot front seven is not going to get pressure on Eli Manning, because they will. They have played much better. And yes, I'm going to tell you right now, the Patriots pass rush is now, it's better than decent. It's pretty damn good the last month. And people associate pass rush with sacks all the time, which is a big mistake. It's not so much sacks that I care about. You look at what they did to Flacco last week, particularly early on in that game, getting three, got sending three and getting to him. And I'm telling you guys, I did work Love, Wilfork, Anderson, and Mayo, Spikes, and Ninkovich are all going to have an impact. Those, I haven't heard anything squat about the Patriots front seven. Nothing. It's like they don't even exist.
And their pressure is good, but what I think is most important is where the pressure is coming from. Vince Wilfork, well documented.
Beast.
Probably had the game of his career.
One of them. He's had games like that, but that was a great game. But he was single-handedly dominating that line and allowing other guys to come from the outside. That's what Ninkovich is, coming from the outside. And even, you know, Anderson was there a couple of times. They are going to get to Eli Manning. Trust me, they are going to get to him. Now, Eli's going to make his plays. There's no doubt about it. And Giants like to take shots down the field. So, I mean, they're going to make their plays. It's not going to be an easy victory by any stretch of the imagination. But it's simply the Giants front four and Eli Manning and the Patriots with Edelman, you know, on any one particular receiver, and that's it. Now, I think the Ravens last week had about 60-something snaps in that game. I think Edelman was on Bolden, huh?
25 total plays for Edelman.
25 total plays for Edelman, okay? Up until the last three, he was doing pretty well. And yet Bolden got him the last three plays. I understand that. But what about the other plays, guys and girls? No one's talking about it. If Bolden were that wide open, Flacco would have found him. So he had to be doing something right. When I went back and watched the games again, I told you a couple of times, I didn't see Bolden wide open in any stretches of the game. Now down the stretch, yeah, he got him for three. But it's how they're hopping on that one particular matchup. And it's all how the Patriots second are going to stop the. How's the Giants going to stop the Patriots? You think all suddenly going to morph into 2007? Is Randy Moss going to be back on the field and they're going to become a vertical team again? It's not going to happen. Gronk's going to play. Gronk is going to play. I think we all know that by now. He's going to play. How effective he's going to be, I don't know. I think he's going to be pretty effective. Ron Jaworski, thank God for Ron Jaworski today. One of the voices of reason. You know, come on. And he made some kind of like, you know, we're both Polish and I understand the, you know, he said the stubbornness. He was going on and on about it. He's like, I think Gronkowski's going to play. He's going to be about 90%. And the other thing I bring up all the time that people forget, and I was down in Jacksonville, when Terrell Owens was that week down there, when the Patriots were playing the Eagles, there was more speculation, more useless speculation, pro and con, what T.O. was going to do. And it got ridiculous to the point where, well, no, I mean, how could he have an impact? Look at the serious injury he suffered. Remember, he wasn't even supposed to play. T.O. wasn't even supposed to play. He ended up being the third best player on the field that day. For the Patriots to win that game, T.O. wins the MVP. It was, you know, Brady and Branch and then Terrell Owens. Those were the three best players on the field that day.
His leg was broken, though. It wasn't
yeah.
His brain. His leg
that's what I'm saying. It was a much more severe injury. He was unbelievable. He surprised the hell out of me and a lot of everybody else. And it was started off early, too. I think his first completion, the first catch he made was yaks. It was like a 10-yard slant, and he ended up turning into like a 35-yard gain, if I'm not mistaken. But so you just don't know. I'm not going to sit here. All these guys are playing doctor on television without any MRIs, without any X-rays. All they got is, you know, Dwight Freeney had a high ankle sprain, and he said it stiffened up in the locker room, so automatically this is going to happen to Gronk. No. Can it? Yes. But it's like the people speak in absolutes about this game, and I don't understand where it's coming from. I don't understand where it's coming from. The only thing I know and I believe in my heart, it's going to be one hell of a game. And I think the Patriots will win the game in the end by less than 7 points. And the other thing that I'm tired of hearing already, and this is hysterical, and I'll get to the phones in a second. And again, Pete Shepard Show live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Email me, webradio at patriot.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me as well. I got lots of messages and phone calls to get to, but I have to get this off my chest. And I don't know about you, the fans out there, listeners, and believe me, I appreciate it, pro and con. I hear this. I was having breakfast down the street from my house the other day, and I didn't say a word. Trust me, you guys know me. It took all my strength to keep my mouth shut. But I'm much more actually tame than I have been in, you know, years ago in public, because I hear so many stupid things by people who are just clueless or bandwagon pink hat fans that I just take it with a grain of salt. But this irked me. This guy sitting next to, and he's not, wasn't a kid, you know. This was like a 45, 50-year-old guy sitting next to me at the at breakfast, talking to the waitress about, it doesn't feel, quote, it doesn't feel right to him that the Patriots are in the Super Bowl this year because he doesn't like how they got there. It doesn't feel right. And then the waitress turns around and said, yeah, they totally lucked out. They totally lucked out.
It's so ridiculous.
I'm just saying to myself, these people just don't understand. They are a bunch of spoiled brats. I say it time and time again, kids. It is hard to win an NFL game. It is hard to win an NFL game at home. It's even worse, harder to do it on the road. To do what the Patriots have done, to get there, they're now in the Super Bowl again. To come up with, now you are not satisfied because of style points, is so absurd that I hate to even talk about it. But there are people out there that think that way. You think Giants fans are saying that? See, I just don't think it happens in New York. You think, I don't, and I haven't listened to the New York stations, but I don't think Giants fans are complaining that Kyle Williams fumbled twice, leading them to get, you know, a couple of touchdowns and get into the Super Bowl, or 10-point get into the Super Bowl. And I don't, and I'm not one sitting here saying the Giants got quote unquote lucky by the fumbles. The same way I wouldn't say the Patriots got quote unquote lucky. The two teams that deserve to be there are there. They made their own breaks. They created some breaks, and turnovers are part of the game. It's that simple. You start playing that game with what happened with the Giants and what would happen with the Patriots, and I don't think, you know, the Patriots made the play on defense. The Giants, you know, it's not like they forced, well, they did force, they have forced turnovers in the playoffs, but Kyle Williams, you know, but it happens. It's part of the game. You start playing that game, you can go back over the course of history and take away a lot of championships from a lot of teams because of some stupid things that have happened, some key turnovers. But to sit here and talk about, you're upset about the Patriots in the Super Bowl because it wasn't, and I say that because it wasn't sexy enough for you. Are you crazy? They've won 10 games in a row. 10 games in a row. They crushed Denver, and the team that everybody was touting. And it still amazes me defensively how now Denver is all of a sudden the worst defensive team on the planet. But back when the Patriots were in Denver, go back and listen to those shows. Go back and listen to the guests I had on. Go back and listen to what the national media was saying back that first time in November. I mean, December. Huh, Denver defense. Denver defense. Denver defense. And now they're just one big pile of dog crap. So that wasn't good enough. They forget the Patriot threw, that Brady threw. All those touchdown passes against Denver in that game, that's because it didn't count. It didn't count. The fact that Pittsburgh lost to Denver, I get that didn't count either. But I just, you know, Eli did this and Eli did that, and Eli hung on to the ball, and I take nothing away from him. Nothing. I thought the pounding he took last week was unbelievable that he didn't fumble the ball. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen this week. Tom Brady, I'll tell you, I agree with him when he says he is not going to throw an interception. The only way I see Brady throwing a pick is if he throws it like right into the hands of Welker or something, or one of the receivers, it bounces off their chest and into the arms of a linebacker or a safety. I just don't think Brady's going to throw a pick. I think he's going to have one of the great Super Bowl games of all time. And I think Eli will make his share of plays too. I have no doubt about it. And this thing about the Giants are more balanced than the Patriots, I don't know where that's coming from. I think these are close. I think these teams are almost equal in so many ways. You want to give the Giants a slight edge, maybe, on special teams for kickoff returns? Maybe. And there won't be any kickoff returns in this game because it's inside, and but it's going to be a touchback fest. The Patriots' offensive line against the Giants' defensive line. I think the Patriots have the best or one of the top two or three offensive lines in the NFL. You add Vollmer back to it. And it just makes him all that better. You know, now Matt Light, I know Matt Light has got some kind of a flu bug or something. He wasn't at media day today and all that stuff. But I'm sure he's going to be out there on Sunday. That's a long ways away. And you remember Brady had 103.3 degree temperature a few years ago, the night before the AFC Championship game that nobody knew about. And he came out and torched the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road. So, lots going on. Can I get to these calls? We're going to take a break. I'm going to get to these calls, and then we've got Paul Schwartz from the New York Post coming up in just a little bit. All right, 508-298-0398. Let's head to the A-Ticket Hotline. First up is Tom in Dorchester. Hey, Tom. Tom?
Hey, Pete. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pete, you know, I've been watching the TV and stuff. They're talking about this whole thing with the coaches and Coughlin and Belichick and everything. To me, it's just such a non-mute point. You know, both coaches are Hall of Fame coaches. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I really want to concentrate on the players, but they keep making such a big deal about this legacy crap, you know?
Well, I mean, I don't know if Coughlin's a Hall of Fame coach yet. I like him. I like his style very much. I liked him when he was at BC. And I don't know if he's there yet as a Hall of Fame coach. Certainly, if they should win this game, he might get there. But I think he's still got a ways to go before we consider him a Hall of Fame coach.
Well, the other thing with the ESPN, I mean, I don't think they've been covering it that bad. I think they've been down the middle. I mean, it's going to be a close game. I think they've been covering it good. I like the way these guys have been covering it.
Well, no, I think Adam Schefter has and some others have. I'm talking about the national media role. I think most people think it's going to be a one-score game. I'm not saying that. I'm saying is if you've looked at all the analysis overall, have you heard about the Patriots running game? Very rarely. You don't hear about the Patriots front seven at all being able to put pressure on Eli Manning. It's all the reverse. It's like they don't think the Patriots pass rush exists because they're looking too much. They're still caught up in net yardage stats, and they're not looking at the improvement that this defense has made, and particularly now that Chung and Spikes are back, and a lot of really nice plays, and the pass rush has been significantly better over the last month. I just think they're going to put as much pressure on Eli as they think the Giants are going to put on the Patriots. I think they're completely underestimating the Patriot front seven.
The Giants front seven is totally clearly the more dominant front seven, though. You can't even compare them.
Sure, what do you mean? Why is it totally clearly dominant?
Because they just are. I mean, they have guys that are flex players. They can cover. They can play linebacker. They can rush. They play every spot on the line. Patriots don't have guys like that.
Well, sure, they do. They have a lot of guys like that. I mean, not play every spot on the line, but their front seven, the Patriots front seven. Did you watch the game last week against Baltimore when three guys were getting to Flacco? Three guys. They do a lot of interesting things out there. I'm telling you, now that Spikes is back and he's playing some of the best
football. Well, that's because Brink, you know, he took a nap during the game, and it's like they just run around him like he was in high school.
Who took a nap during the game?
I mean, they're not going to be playing Deal and the rest of these guys. I mean, they're the real deal. You know what I mean? It isn't like you're playing against.
Okay, let me ask you this. Then how come the Giants this entire season were last in the league in rush defense and 29th in pass defense? Where's that great defense?
Well, I'll tell you.
You'll tell me
it
what.
It all comes to how you're playing at the end, Pete.
Well, yeah, you're right, and that you're absolutely right. And you know what? The Patriots are playing a hell of a lot better right now, and so are the Giants. I totally agree. But don't sit there and tell me this Giants defense is like it was in 2007 because it's not, and it's not as spectacular as you think it is. They're playing better. How do you come to that conclusion?
They are better. They are more dominant. The Patriots do not have.
They were 29th in pass defense and last in rush defense. What makes you think they're so much better?
They do not have people like that. Vince Wilfork cannot play middle linebacker like Kiwanuka can. You know what I mean? These guys can bounce back and forth. They don't have guys like that.
Why would I want Vince Wilfork to play middle linebacker?
Well, they disguise it a lot better than the Patriots do.
They do?
A lot better.
Okay. Well, we'll see when the Patriots don't do any disguises at all. The last two playoff games, they haven't done anything, right? Nothing. No pass rush, no interceptions, nothing, no forced turnovers, nothing.
Listen, Pete, I respect your opinion about football. I know you've been flipping burgers lately and stuff, and you're not on the radio as much.
No,
but, you know, you still know what you're doing. You know what I mean? I'll give you that.
Tom, I wish you did, but see, I know because you've done this before under various names, and you like to be a smartass and you're funny and you're great. You say this stuff over the phone and you try to come off as some tough guy, but you haven't answered any questions yet. Your points are not always right. Go back and listen to yourself. You're not always right. Next time, call with a different name. Last week he was from Scituate. This week he's from Dorchester. And I'm sorry. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but you're way off base. You're not paying attention. When I talk about, you want to talk about the greater body of work, don't talk to me about this great Giant defense when they were 29th against the pass and last against the rush all year. And yes, I agree. The one point I will agree with you on, yes, both, the problem with you, Tom, is, whatever your name is, you won't give the Patriots credit for the way their defense is playing now. Very much like what Indianapolis won the Super Bowl a few years ago, when their defense kind of, you know, turned it on a little bit in the playoffs and played a hell of a lot better than they did in the regular season. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I think the Giants need. You think the Giants secondary is like anything is better right now than the Patriots? And despite Edelman being out there, you think it's that much better? I don't. I think that's a major weakness for the Giants. Major weakness. Man, go smell what you're shoveling, my friend. Go back and watch the Packers drop seven balls, and see, you know, where that great Giant defense was during that game. They were sitting there watching the Packers fumble and stumble that game away. Wasn't this like this massive scheme that confused Aaron Rodgers? His receivers dropped balls and they fumbled three times. But that's part of the game. They made they capitalized on it. Patriots did. The Packers didn't. But you want to talk about body of work, you want to talk about playing well lately, then you've got to put the Patriots in the same equation. Let's see. Back to the phones here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. And let's go to John in Maine. Hey, John. John in Maine.
There
you go, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
I'm a first-time caller.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. I've been listening to what you said at the beginning. It was excellent. I mean, I want to blow listening to this national media. All the talk.
It's unbearable.
Spiel they're talking.
It's unbearable because they won't bring up. They're just talking about what the Giants can do, not what the Patriots can do. It's all about what the Giants can do and what the Patriots cannot do. It's unbelievable.
Are they reading from the same paper? You know, is this something passed down? All of them read this agenda?
No, I think it's just easy material for them because it's easy for them. Like, they all ate a lot of crow last week because they all brought up 2009, which I kept saying to everybody time and time again meant nothing compared to what was going to happen in that game. And so you heard nothing last week against Baltimore about what happened in 2010. And even that game, the Patriots won, by the way, 23-20 in overtime. At least that game had Welker, Gronkowski, and Hernandez. The 2009 game had none of those guys, nor Deion Branch. But yet they still kept hopping on it for an entire week. And they're doing the same thing this week with the Giants. They're going back to 2007, which both teams are entirely different the way they are structured offensively and defensively. And it is not going to, it's just not going to be the same type of game as it was back then because the players are different and the schemes are different on both teams.
I absolutely agree. And here's another thing. They keep talking about these receivers coming back from the Giants. But they don't mention the fact there was like a whole new secondary in the backfield for that game for the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And half the defense, you know, starters were there.
No, I agree. And, you know, Sergio Brown had that stupid, when it was a right call, I've said it a million times, it was a bad pass interference call. And, John, I got to let you go because I get it to my guests. But that put the ball at first and goal on the one-yard line. So, that and the fact that the Giants won the turnover battle that day, and that's why they won the game. But if you look at the Knicks wasn't there, Bradshaw wasn't there. But if you look at the team stats on both sides of that game, and you just look at the numbers, you think the Patriots won by a couple of touchdowns, and it wasn't because they lost 24-20. And the big reason is because they lost the turnover battle, and the Giants capitalized on it. All right, let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline, check in with my first guest of the day. It's Paul Schwartz from the New York Post. Hey, Paul, it's Pete Shepard here in Foxborough. How are you?
Very good. We got through media day, so that's an accomplishment.
Well, you know, I know I'm not at this Super Bowl, but I've been to plenty of other ones, and I know what a joke it has become. But I do think, tell me if you think I'm wrong, I think the players are starting to enjoy it more because they don't have to talk about football. It's just a bunch of silliness.
Oh, I think they enjoy it. I mean, I think The younger guys, I think they're looking around and then they're you know, wide-eyed a little bit. There's a lot of video cameras and things. Look, it's a spectacle. You walk on that field and there's, you know, the podiums everywhere and stuff on the scoreboard. This year, for the first time, they have fans. They had about 7,000-8,000 fans
yep.
sitting in the stands and who could watch and they could listen into certain interviews with headsets. So, you know, that was a new wrinkle this year. And, yeah, no, I think they like it. There's a lot of football talk. There's a lot of, you know, a guy from Indiana and a guy from a high school paper comes and talks to him about it, or college. So it's kind of an old home week sort of thing. It's fine, you know. You got to wait through the crazy questions, but you can get a lot done there.
Yeah, you can. I think a lot of the serious football discussions. Just, I mean, both teams are not going to reveal a whole hell of a lot. Once in a while, you get a funny one-liner from somebody, but overall, well, let me get your thoughts on the game coming up. I, for one, think it's going to be a one-score game either way. I really think this is going to be a very highly competitive game between two teams that I really believe deserve to be there. They're playing the best at the end of the season than anybody else, and despite both teams getting some breaks and creating their own breaks, and that's part of the game. And it aggravates me when people say otherwise, because they could go back through history and take away wins from a lot of teams that have gotten to the Super Bowl that maybe they think a fumble here or an interception there may not have gotten it. But they deserve, both these teams deserve to be here. And I think this is going to be one of the most entertaining Super Bowl games of all time. I really believe that.
Well, it could be, the first one was, maybe not the Patriots fans, but it was a great game, but it wasn't a high-scoring game. You know, people, 4 years ago, a lot of people look back at that and said that was one of the greatest Super Bowls ever played, or mm-hmm. not the greatest, because of the upset factor. I think because of the two scores late, the great story that the Giants did in yep. Rallying back, Eli making a name for himself, stopping the perfect undefeated season of the Patriots. Like I said, I'm sure in New England they don't look at that as the best Super Bowl ever played. The other games where the Patriots won close games, and they probably view them as better games. But, yeah, I think, it's indoors. The Giants are certainly glad to not be playing in San Francisco with the mud and rain and slow track. I don't think the indoor surface favors anybody, really. It certainly doesn't hurt the Giants. They're a fast team. But, I don't think Tom Brady and his receivers mind that too much. It's hard for me to think that this won't be a good game. You know what I mean? I mean, I guess one team has the potential to kind of get away from the other a little bit. You'd say maybe the Giants more so than the Patriots, but because the Patriots have shown some weaknesses in the defensive backfield.
So have the Giants. The Giants have shown weaknesses in the backfield also. I mean, let's not kid ourselves.
If you look at the numbers, I mean, I don't think the Patriots were the worst defense in football. I don't think the Packers were the first or second worst defense in football. Mm-hmm. I mean, the numbers are the numbers. They're like, guys who have bad batting averages going into August. You can't get the batting average up. They couldn't get these numbers up. The Giants' defensive numbers are bad also. So mm-hmm. I think, both quarterbacks are top-notch, no question about it. And, I guess there'll be more points than last time, you would think.
You would think. And again, I think really, like it was back in November, even though Knicks and Bradshaw didn't play in that game, but I do think, it's an old cliche, but I really think whoever takes care of the football best is probably going to win this game. Last time they played here in November, despite not having the two guys I just mentioned, Giants won the turnover battle, and that's a big reason why they won. And they deserve it. They capitalized on plays that they should have, and Sergio Brown's pass interference call at the end also, was a nice added bonus there. But even that game has nothing to do with this upcoming game. And what happens is, I think the national media gets caught up with 2007. I think it's absolutely ridiculous, because I was saying to the listeners here earlier, both teams on both sides of the football are a lot different in a lot of ways. Some of the players are there, they're the same, but different types of teams. The Giants are much more of a running team back then. It's completely different now. The Patriots have not as the vertical team that they used to be. They have different weapons that can do different things. I just think the national media gets too ridiculously overhypes the game in 2007, because I don't think it's going to be anything similar at all to what happens on Sunday.
Look, it was impossible. I tried to resist comparing the Giants now, the way they came back and, surged in the playoffs and, beat the Packers and beat the 49ers to 2007. But there were a lot of similarities and a lot of, an underdog team, a team that did not have a great regular season. But I agree, as far as having an effect on this game, I mean, because Justin Tuck was dominant in 2007. Well, he's going to dominate again. Well, he's being blocked by different guys. Mm-hmm. He's a different player. To think that, Eli Manning is the same quarterback, he's a much better quarterback. There were differences. Like you said, the Giants offensive line 4 years ago was better than this offensive line. They ran the ball better. I mean, I think that the Patriots are going to dare the Giants to run the ball in the Super Bowl, and the Giants haven't shown a real ability to run it, great distances against anybody. I agree. But look, you got two of the same teams. It's not 10 years later. It's 4 years later. Same coaches, same quarterbacks. It's a great storyline, but it really has no effect on what we'll see on the field.
No, I agree with you. And like I said, the one quarterback and the one player I actually call him one of the top five or top six is definitely Eli Manning. I never would have thought I would have said that first couple of years, even though he's still thrown 41 picks over the last two seasons, but I think he has proven himself to me, if he can, and a lot of other people around here. You got to consider him, and I hate to use a stupid word elite because I think it's, you know, it gets overused, but he's one of the top six. Certainly he's bypassed Phillip Rivers, in my opinion. And I think it's, you know, I still think it's Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, you know, flip a coin, whatever you want. And if Peyton Manning was healthy, and then he's got to be right there at five or six. He's got to be.
Oh, I agree. You know, look, Eli Manning had his best year by, you know, this year in 2011, and it was dwarfed by Tom Brady's year.
Yeah.
You know, Eli Manning has not put up these kind of great numbers for years the way Brady has, the way Peyton had before he got hurt, the way Breeze has. So, you know, yes, Eli is one of the best quarterbacks in football, but, you know, people come in and say, well, he's on par with Brady. Well, maybe right now in this slice of history, he can play and has played as well as Brady. He's probably played better than Tom Brady in the playoffs for this small sample. But Tom Brady is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's got his three rings. He might get more. He might get a fourth in a few days. And, you know, his statistical data dwarfs anything that Eli Manning did. Eli Manning is in the discussion. He's very, very good. But he's not Brady or Rodgers or Breeze in my mind. Now, the big question is, do you want to put him four? You got Eli, you got Ben Roethlisberger. That's, I think, the discussion. Yeah. To think he's better than those guys right now is a little bit putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah, a little bit. But certainly, you know, and besides Big Ben's personal life, I mean, I was a fan of his in college, and I thought he'd be a tremendous pro. You know, you're right, maybe he's not. But still, if he's not, he's 4 or 4A. You know what I'm saying? Or 5 or 5A. I mean, he's
oh yeah,
he's
no,
right
he
there.
Can go out there and throw for 350 yards and dominate the game. I mean, he was an MVP once, and he can do it again. But I think people are kind of, you know, assuming now that Eli is now on par with Tom Brady, and you know, I'm sure that sits really well with Tom Brady for all these weeks.
Well, you know, this team is going to be extra motivated, not extra motivated, but they're going to be highly motivated. Tom, you know, it doesn't lose back-to-back games. Doesn't have back-to-back bad games, I should say, very often, very rarely. And I do think, I'm sure the New York media knows this, and so do the players, but, you know, the Patriots wanted to win this game for Mr. Kraft and the passing of his dear wife, Myra Kraft. I think it's a lot more emotional and a lot more of a motivational tactic around here than a lot of people may think.
Well, I heard some of the players talk about it today. It's a real... Yeah, I don't know, a motivator. It's a real force on the team, no question. They love the owner. You know, from what everything I've read and heard, the owner's wife was a tremendous woman. The players knew her and liked her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this wasn't some distant owner that you know, they just kind of showed up once in a while. So yeah, I mean, look, on a third and two, is the defense going to rise up and stop Brandon Jacobs a yard short because of this?
Yeah.
You know what they're playing for? No, but certainly, if they win, it will be a very emotional thing. And if they lose, I don't think anyone should look at it and say, well, they didn't care enough about Mrs. Kraft. I mean, this is something that they've dealt with all season, and certainly the owner has dealt with it. And you know, it's as long as it's handled the right way, which the Patriots certainly do, they do it very classy, then, you know, it can only be a positive, even if they lose. You know what I mean? If they go out and play a good game and lose, you know, they don't lack any dignity at all.
I think the part of the Patriots, see if you agree with me or not, I think part of the Patriots game that no one's talking about and not giving enough credit, and I think they're going to be very surprised, is Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead, I think are going to have a much bigger impact on this game than I think a lot of national people realize. Not New York people, because I think they understand. They've seen the Patriots enough. But they have a very, very sneaky running game. And you look at the numbers sometimes at the end of the games and you go, oh, my God, how did that happen? But I got to tell you, that Paul, they always seem, if they need three, they get four. If they need five, they get six. They have a pretty, even though the numbers aren't overwhelming, obviously, because it's a passing league now, but this team can run the football effectively at times this year, this season. They've done a pretty good job with it.
That's right. The numbers are irrelevant. Can they get yards when they need them? You're right. I mean, it's going to be very unusual where the Patriots are going to run for 180 and pass for, 200. It's a passing team. The Giants are a passing team.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think, you know, Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw get more credit than the Patriots running backs do. They're bigger names, I guess. They've been here before in the Super Bowl before. You know, they both have had 1,000-yard seasons before. You know, neither of them was close to that this year. But I agree. You know, the Giants, in their defensive turnaround, the first thing they did was stop the run. They were not a good pass defense at all, and they're pretty shabby against the run. The first thing they did was stop the run. That allowed them to start rushing the passer, and then you know, that really increased their numbers at stopping the pass. But that is the key. I think they're a pretty good run defense, but I don't think they're dominant. You know, I don't think this is the Ravens. I don't think this is not the 49er defense that really is just the front seven is just so tough to beat. Giants have some good players. They also have a middle linebacker, Chase Blackburn, who was, you know, contemplating teaching algebra a few months ago and when the Giants re-signed him. So it's not like they have, a Ray Lewis in his prime in the middle there either.
There's so many great stories on both teams. And even, I was saying this to somebody, I was in another radio interview overseas today, and I was telling people, you know, the Giants, even from a New England standpoint, you know, it's not, the Giants are not the Jets, and they're not the Yankees, and even the Rangers to an extent. I think people around here, they want the revenge factor because of what happened in 2007. But I don't think a lot of people around here, a lot of fans around here, quote unquote, you know, hate the Giants because it's tough. It's tough to hate. I mean, they said all the right things today, and there's a lot of New England connections with a lot of those guys on that team, including I got to give a shout out to Will Blackman, who went to my high school, Bishop Hendrickson in Warwick, Rhode Island, by the way. So, and there's such a BC connection on this Giants team. You know, I do think that a lot of fans around here have affection for it, and you know, a lot of the older fans around here. There's a lot of Giants fans around here because they were the only team on television back, you know, before the Patriots got here.
You know what? And plus, win or lose, I'm pretty sure that when those coaches meet at midfield after the game, they'll shake each other's hands, you know, and, you know, not do a little brush off like Harbaugh did a week and a half ago in the NFC Championship game to Tom Coughlin. Right. I mean, the two coaches work together. They have great respect for each other. And look, the Giants, unquestionably, they enjoyed that victory 2007. They reveled in it. You know, 18-1. They loved it. They nobody believed in them. Blah blah blah. You know, nobody could beat Pretty Boy Tom Brady. They and I'm sure some Patriots fans look at that and say, oh man, you know, they only won one, and that's how they deal with it. But, you know, they reveled in beating the Patriots. No question about it. You know, that's fine. You know, that's the victor go the spoils. But I agree. I think these are two classy organizations. Right, it doesn't have a history of, you know, Patriots-Jets in the division, Giants-Eagles, that kind of thing. But, you know, Justin Tuck was saying the other day, you know, they're not in our division, and we don't play them that often, but it seems like we know them really well, and it seems like we do play them pretty often. I mean, obviously they play every year in the preseason, so there's some familiarity just from seeing the guys. But, you know, having played this year, having played in the Super Bowl, I think these teams kind of have a little bit of a yin-yang going. I agree with that.
Before I let you go, just real quick, and off the topic subject, aren't you glad you're not covering the Knicks this week? Because I know you cover them too.
Well, they haven't covered the Knicks in a while, but they're the best laid plans of putting that threesome together have not exactly turned out right now. And you know what? You know who's the biggest benefactor of the Giants' playoff run?
Well, the Knicks.
Of anybody in New York, Mike D'Antoni.
Oh, Mike D'Antoni. Yeah, I agree. I feel bad for him because he didn't want that big trade to be made, right? I mean, I kind of feel bad for him. It's not his fault.
Well, I'm not a big fan of the way he coaches defense, but you're right. I mean, he was not the one who said, get me Carmelo Anthony, because that's going to put us over the top. And it's so strange that all the guys they sent to the Nuggets have played much better than the Knicks with their no-name team, and the Knicks with all their stars have not played well. But, you know, Mike D'Antoni would be on the back pages and, you know, columns to get rid of them, and what's wrong with the Knicks, and, you know, with the Giants making this great run, the Knicks can't buy real estate on the back page now. So he's got another 4 or 5 days, D'Antoni, to get his house in order, and then it'll be the spotlight will be shining on him once again.
All right, if you can, give me a prediction on the Super Bowl. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I'm not 100% sure of how I feel right now. I think the Giants are the more complete team. You know what I mean? I think that there's certain things the Patriots certainly do better. And I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be even surprised if the Patriots won. I think the Giants are the more complete team, and that means, you know, not a lot, only if they play at their best. I think the Giants will win maybe 27-20, 27-21, something like that. But I think it'll be a good game. I don't get a sense it's going to be a field goal game right down the stretch. The Giants have a lot of offense, and, you know, if things don't go haywire and they start turning the ball over, I think they'll be okay, but it's you know, Brady and Belichick, it's tough to really have a great, I think it's very tough to have a great conviction that I think they're going to beat them because those guys are hard to beat. They really are.
Yeah, and I just think he said, I think most people around, if you follow football this year and you know these two teams, and to say it's going to be more than a one-score game, either way, I think it's crazy. I've yet to see anybody say blowout either way, but I think it's going to be 7 points or less no matter who wins.
Yeah, look, I mean, they're great. The quarterbacks, it depends. If the Patriots will get out to a big lead and the Giants don't run the ball and Eli throws an interception, it could get a little bit out of hand. The way these offenses operate, I think the Giants may be more explosive now, but it's not like the Patriots can't score points. I mean, they can score points in bunches, and if Brady has one of those games or everything's working for him, I'm concerned about the tight end, certainly, because, I don't think you can be 100% effective at all with a high ankle sprain, and although they'll tape him up and shoot him up and do what they can, if he's not, a real, real big force, and the Giants can kind of just treat him like a good player and not like a crazy player like he is, then I think that trickles down to the entire defense. So I think that'll be a real, it's unfortunate for the Patriots, certainly, that they have to go in, with this concern for this great player. I mean, he's had the best season of any tight end in history, and, we see what these tight ends do in the playoffs. I mean, Vernon Davis scored 2 touchdowns against the Giants in the NFC Championship game, and, this guy scored a touchdown against them the last time they played. The Giants felt good about the way they played defense against Gronkowski the last time they played, and he had 8 catches for 101 yards for a touchdown. That shows how good he is.
Yeah, just real quick, I can't get out of my head being down in Jacksonville when the Patriots playing the Eagles back in a few years ago, and remember the T.O. injury and how, he wasn't going to do anything and this, that, and one hit and he's gone. And if it wasn't for Brady and Branch, he would have been the MVP of the game.
Oh, no, that's why I caution people.
It
can happen. It can happen, right. But look, the guy's not 100%.
No. No.
If he can figure out a way to get through, a 3-hour stretch in a few days, that will be great. They don't want to do any harm to the guy, which will hurt him, and down the road. And I'm sure they're very cognizant of that. But look, he's not going to be running the way he normally can be, but he's still going to be really big.
Yeah.
He's still going to be really big, and if Brady throws it up to him, he'll catch it more than he won't catch it.
It'll be interesting. Paul, thanks so much. Paul Schwartz from the New York Post joining me here on Patriots.com. Thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of the time in Indianapolis. Any good restaurants down there?
Well, St. Elmo, I guess. Half the Brady was there with a big party last night, and Eli was there with a big party last night. I may try to check it out tonight. It's it's a good spot. But, it's an interesting Super Bowl. Everything's very condensed, close together. You can walk to the Giants team hotel from the media center. You can walk to the stadium.
That's good.
You can walk to
It's not New Orleans, though. It's not New Orleans.
Well, no, it's not New Orleans, but, we're here to do a job. It's easier to do a job in Indianapolis than it is in New Orleans, put it that way.
Absolutely. All right, my friend, take care. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you. Anytime. Right, take care.
Thanks a lot. Paul Schwartz from the New York Post joining me here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Let me see. Let's get to some more phone calls, guys. I've been waiting, and then I'll take a break and reset and get to these emails. And I know I've been reluctant to get to the email. With all the phones and everything, I don't like people waiting on hold. So I will promise you I will read all the emails as well, and on Facebook, too. Here's a Mike in North Carolina. Hey, Mike, you're next up with Pete. How you doing?
Hey, Retreat Hell, Pete. How you doing?
Hey, Retreat Hell, baby. How you doing?
I'm outstanding. I'm outstanding. Hey, I wanted to talk to you about a couple of points here.
Yeah.
A couple of phone calls ago, before you talked to the guy from the New York Post.
Yeah.
That guy that came on, I got to tell you, that guy really burned my ass.
Well, don't let it bother you, because that's a guy who called when I used to work at WEEI, and he does it. He uses different names, and he'll say he doesn't, but I could call Andy at EEI and bring up countless phone calls. He calls every radio station. He does. His shtick is the same thing, so don't even worry about it.
Man, I'm telling you now, that had me. I was telling you, I was about ready to reach through the phone and be like, dude, what is wrong with you? I understand. Don't get me wrong. I know there are a lot of Pats fans out there, and especially a lot of Giants fans out there, too, that are probably not going to like me here to say this. But, facts are facts. I will give the Giants their due. Their defense is pretty damn good. I'll give them that.
Well, it's playing pretty damn good now.
The Patriots their due also.
Absolutely.
The Patriots are damn good, too.
They're both playing well now. That's what matters. If you took the first 15, the first 10 weeks especially, like I said, the Patriots, everybody knows what the Patriots were. Much better against the run than the Giants were, way better. And the pass, they were 31st. The Giants were 29th and had the worst rush defense. So overall, the Giants' defense was worse. They were worse in points allowed. They were worse in turnover differential. So there's a lot of things you can, but right now it's how they're playing right now. If you're going to give kudos to the Giants, you're going to give it to the Patriots.
Exactly, because they're both they both earned the right to be in the Super Bowl. They both earned it. So
that's right.
I'm not going to sit here and try to say that the Giants backed away. I know they didn't. That's a bunch of crap. And neither did the Patriots. They both worked hard. They busted their asses all year, and they've earned the right to be here. So, you know, I'm not going to go there. But the other point I wanted to talk to you about is, did you hear Victor Cruz?
Yes, I did.
I guarantee. You remember a guy named Anthony Smith?
Yep.
Back in 07?
Yep.
Mr. I guarantee a victory. And what happened to the Steelers? They got slammed,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Well, and you know, Victor, you know, it's a great story. He's from UMass and all that stuff. But see, I think the Giants are infatuated with Julian Edelman. They seem to be infatuated with him. And the last few weeks, Julian has played pretty well back there as a nickel guy. And despite Bolden getting three straight passes on him when he was out there, he did a pretty good job overall. It wasn't like Bolden was, you know, earlier, you know, the first three quarters of that game did anything because you didn't really hear his name. So, I mean, it's going to be a team. I just think people are drastically underrating the Patriots pass rush. I really believe that the way they are right now, not what they were 2-3 months ago, what they are right now, and they are going to be effective. I'm telling you, that front seven, the way they are, as long as they stay healthy in that game, they are going to be effective. They're going to get to Eli. I promise you that.
Oh, I know. Pete, let them find out the hard way. They want to keep they keep doing this to prop the Giants up, I'm sure of it. But let them go ahead and do that. Let them go ahead and do that. And then when Eli goes ahead, when he goes ahead and drop back the pass, and he sees Vince Wilfork coming up the middle, and Mark Anderson or Ninkovic or somebody coming off the right, maybe Chung coming from the safety position, and slams him to the ground a few times, maybe they might change their minds a little bit.
Yeah.
But,
the other big mistake people are making, they're really with the 2007, the biggest mistake they're making is they're forgetting that the vertical game of the Patriots, the passing game, is a much different game right now. It's just different. And Brady is not going to be dropping back 5 and 6, 7 step dropbacks. He's going to be, and if you saw the numbers, like I said, in the Baltimore game, 59% of his pass when he dropped back, he released the ball in 2.4 seconds. You cannot sack a quarterback with that kind of a number. And that's what you're going to see. You're going to see much more of that than 5, 6, 7 step dropbacks by Brady. I promise you. And I don't think the Giants are going to be able to cover those guys at 2.4 seconds. I don't see it.
Well, Pete, you know, there might be one way they could do it is if they get the Starship Enterprise and over it and Scotty's beaming them into the pocket.
Well, possibly, yeah, but that, you know, that's
the only way.
That'd be tough.
You can get them in 2.4 seconds.
That'd be tough.
But, yeah, I'm not going to say it's going to be a blowout. It's nowhere near going to be a blowout. Not
I don't
close.
Think so.
But I still believe in our boys. I believe the Pats are there for a reason, and the reason is for them to win. So I think Belichick's already got them schemed up. He's already got them plotted out. These guys are going to come out for revenge. And it's on. It's time to win this game. And I think that's what they're there to do. So I got faith in them.
All right,
defense,
Mike.
Offense, and special teams.
All right, Mike. Good call. Thanks a lot. I made a lot of good points. We'll talk to you soon. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Let's continue with Melvin in Tennessee. Melvin.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Melvin?
Good. I just wanted to, I guess you kind of elaborated on it. Yourself, but I think a very huge key to this game is this running game. I think our running game is so underrated. You know, with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Woodhead back there, it was very sneaky and very effective last week with that draw.
And Ridley's going to play. And Ridley's going to play also on Sunday. We're hearing so.
Right. So that would make it. You know, that was one of the smoothest drives when they just started handing the ball off. You know, Ben Jarvis just went right down the field on the Ravens, and that's the Ravens and not the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get past that first level, you know, they're just as average as anybody else back there in the backfield. And I think Tom Brady will be fine once you get past those, you get those, you know, four guys blocked. And I just wanted to make one more point as far as – I just wanted to see your feelings as far as – I think an unsung hero last week was Derek. I think he played a phenomenal game, especially during that fourth down.
I couldn't agree more. And like I said, none of those guys – have you heard – if you watched any of the media day today, besides Wilfork, which is an obviously – but no one's talking about Dieterick. No one's talking about Love. No one's talking about Anderson. And you're right. Dieterick had a tremendous game last week. I think that's a great point because I think Wilfork got all the attention, but Dieterick was a big part of that, and so was Anderson and Love. But you won't hear that. You won't hear that from the national nitwits on ESPN and the NFL Network.
They don't, and you know, it's just I haven't turned on my TV to seriously watch ESPN.
You're smart, man.
Yeah, I haven't turned on to watch it since the playoffs stopped because I knew it was coming, and it just makes me mad just to hear that garbage that they try to display. But and also, you know, I was thinking last year, you know, like I said, I called early and said about it that I thought Sean Ellis would be such a bigger force, other than him, you know, baptizing Tebow that one time and a couple of times. You know, I thought he'd be a much bigger force, you know, and maybe he still can.
Well, he's been.
I wonder if anybody's noticed this. You know, have you noticed him?
Yes, well, I think the last month, the last four games, the two playoff games, and the two games before that, I do think he's been much better. I mean, I agree with you overall, a little bit of a disappointment, but I think he is playing his best football right now, which is a good thing. I think he's played pretty well the last month against Buffalo, Miami, and against Denver and against Baltimore. I think he's done pretty well.
Well, good. Okay, because it was hard for me to see some of those guys being down here in Tennessee, so they don't display him as much. So I have mm-hmm. to go across them to like a bar or something like that to generally watch. But you know, I'm very confident in our team, and you know, and like I said, during the beginning of the year, we had this. I think that our defense was struggling because it felt like we were playing soft. I mean, we were playing these prevent defenses. We never blitzed.
Mm-hmm.
We just sit back there and let people, you know, throw all day. And then, you know, now I think we're trying to – I think that pass rush, even with the three people, is now getting there. And I don't know how, but, you know, but I think with maybe if we switch that 3-4 front this time, sure. And I know that center is a little bit banged up. And you do not want to be banged up against Vince Wilfork because you're going to have a – you know, a mouthful of face mask, probably. So, you know, I think that'll be a big key. And all of us, with all that double team right there, Spikes with his long body gets in there and get in Eli's passing lane, I think we'll be fine. And last point I want to say is, do you think now that this week with these receivers that they do have, do you mm-hmm. think that McCorder will come down from safety and try to have to guard one of them?
I think he'll play both. I think, you know, I think they'll see how it goes. And you know, I think you probably start a corner, see what happens. Uh-huh. I mean, the Giants seem to be obsessed with the Edelman matchup. If Edelman's out there as a nickelback, they seem to be obsessed with that. They seem to think that that's the only matchup they're going to be able to exploit it. This, that, and the other thing, and you know, and I'm sure they will
at
times.
Playing them, you know, I think he'll get a couple of runs, but Edelman's been playing decent.
Yes,
and I just don't see he has, you know, other than a couple of times, you know, and really it was kind of weird because I thought that it was very rare that people wouldn't even throw his way. And I was like, isn't mm-hmm. Edelman still out there? And they haven't thrown to him, so obviously he's been doing something, you know.
The snaps he was out there last week, they were 3 in a row against at the end, we all saw. But the other mm-hmm. 19 snaps he was out there, he must have been doing something right because it's not like Bolden. You didn't hear Bolden torched Edelman in the first three quarters of that game. You just didn't hear it.
Right. So, you know, it's just media, and they're still stuck on these net yardage numbers and how many yards they're not pointing to the fact, you know, that they did all this stuff. And, you know, these teams are still scoring 20 points while we have 30. Good job for having 20 points, but we're still beating you by two or three possessions. So it really doesn't matter, you know, as much as net yardage is just, it's so overrated. And, mm-hmm. you know, you can't judge a team off of net yardage.
No.
It's beyond real. It's all about how many points you score. When we go down there, they can't score any points. We still hold them to 20, 25 points. Like, we've seen receiver sets like this, like Dallas and, you know, a couple mm-hmm. of two and three receiver sets, I mean, threats as
yep.
far as that goes. But, you know, they can hold them. They've seen this before. We kind of saw it last week. I don't know why sometimes that we feel like that. I don't know why Torrey Smith was by himself. That was the only concern.
Yep.
We've never been leaving people alone.
Yep.
So that was kind of – I think Chung wants to come up and get a little physical sometimes. I want him to stay back. You know, so he does that a lot, but I think that should move in a strong safety, but
they might
have no distance like that free.
Well, it's going to be interesting, like I said. I think you'll see a lot of McCourty. You'll see a lot of different formation. I mean, McCourty playing corner and safety. They're going to see, I mean, it's going to be a chess match early on, and they'll get a feel for what each team is able to do against against each other, and then we'll see what happens. But I expect a very competitive game.
Yeah, I do too. But watch out for that run game. That run
game
is going to be huge. Okay, but I'll see you, Pete.
All right, Mel. Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call, my friend. 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. That's how you get a hold of me here on Patriots.com. Phones are heating up always. So let's continue with the calls. This is Dan and Holyoke up next here on the Pete Shepard Show. Hey, Dan.
Hey.
Hey, Dan.
How's it going, Pete?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. First, I wanted to thank you for being an island of sanity and this week.
I'm trying. I'm trying, and I just, you know, all I ask is, you know, is play it both ways, you know, on national media. Just stop talking about everything the Giants can do and what the Patriots can't do, and flip-flop that a little bit. For God's sakes, I mean, and it's like there's four people playing in this game and nobody else.
Absolutely. I mean, they talk like the Giants have been playing really well, and, you know, the Patriots haven't. And they've stepped up their play immensely. All I hear is how Giants' pass rush is so great, that Eli Manning is better than his brother. You know, it's ridiculous how they're going to be able to pass all day long on the Patriots. And what they don't realize is, you know, first of all, Will Fork is playing probably the best ball of his career right now. Okay, and their interior line isn't exactly healthy. And that's going to be a problem. You've got, you know, Tom Brady's coming off, admittedly, you know, not his best week, but I don't think he's going to have a bad week this week, too. He's going to be on target. And he's not throwing a long ball. He's not going to be dropping back and spending, you know, time sitting there patting the ball, waiting for someone to open up. He's taking the quick shots. He's got the tight ends out there. He's going to get the ball out quickly. It's going to be extremely hard for a pass rush to get to him.
I totally agree, and I think the Patriots front seven is being completely disrespected, as I was saying to a lot of other callers. You know, I think the way they are playing right now, they are going to get just as much pressure. They're going to get a lot of pressure on Eli Manning, I think a lot more than people are willing. You know, they just don't realize it right now the way this D is playing. They're going to get to him. I mean, they're healthy. For once, they're all healthy and ready to go. And Dedrick Love and Will Fork and Anderson, Spikes, Mayo, Ninkovich, they are going to have some numbers in this game. I promise you that.
Absolutely. The other thing I'm hearing is that this Giants team is better than the 08 team. And I don't understand where they're coming from. They're, you know, they're 9-7 team.
Eli's better. Eli's
really
better.
Well right now,
Eli's a better quarterback. Yeah, Eli's a better quarterback. The 2017 the Giants had was better than this one.
He's got better targets too. I think they're taller. You know, they can go up and get the ball. Yep. He just has to put it down there. I mean, I've seen those receivers even when they're covered tight, they go up and get it a good 80% of the time, and that's really helping him out.
No, I agree. And look, I mean, Eli, the Giants are going to make some plays on offense in this game. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're going to put up some numbers. They're going to have their moments. I just think the Patriots are going to have more of them. That's all.
Absolutely. And just watch out for Will Fork in your face. That's all I got to say to Eli.
Watch out for Will Fork, and I'm going to keep pounding to everyone. Watch out for the law firm and Danny Woodhead. That's all I'm going to say, because those two guys are going to be the unsung heroes of this game.
Okay, well. Keep going, Pete. Thank you very much.
All right, my friend. Thanks a lot. 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Also, you can Facebook me at Pete Shepard, PETSHEPPARD. And, of course, email me, webradio@patriots.com. More of your phone calls. I'll get to all the emails, I promise. A quick break, and we'll come back with more right here on patriots.com.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Gear up for the Super Bowl at the official team store, the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise anywhere, from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, game day party gear, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right?
Right, yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Want to talk to Pete? Call him on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Pete the Meat Shepherd.
Yes, hour number two here at the Pete Shepherd Show at Patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Email me, webradio@patriots.com, and Facebook me as well, Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Also, we're doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Quick, a couple emails before I get back to the phones. Howard says, couldn't agree more. Patriots front seven versus Giants O-line, or Giants seven versus Patriots O-line. Patriots offensive line is head and shoulders better than the Giants offensive line. It's not even close. Conversely, the Giants front seven is only marginally better than the Patriots front seven. Heck, if you break it down, Giants defensive line is better overall versus Patriots defensive line. However, the Pats linebackers are better overall than the Giants linebackers. I will take the Pats front seven versus the Giants offensive line every day. Okay. I'm with you there. Let's see. Gene in Daytona says, the game behind the game. Did we all forget 2007? Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter calling for a Spygate investigation 2 days before the Super Bowl, or the Boston Globe story of Patriots NFL champion T-shirts available for purchase before the game was even played. Do you think this was a coincidence or planned? The Boston Globe is owned by New York Times, who is owned by media giant Rupert Murdoch, who was one of the Arlen Specter's largest campaign donors in 2007. Rupert Murdoch. Mr. Murdoch has many financial ties with the Giants and will profit from a Giants win.
The Patriots will not have to say or do anything wrong that Mr. Murdoch's spin people will create something just before the game and try to fire up the Giants. The story will not come directly out of New York. That would be obvious. It will be, have to come out of the New England for the Giants to believe it, but will be created in Murdoch's New York media empire. We need, like, the conspiracy theory music.
Can I channel my yeah. my inner Mike Ditka?
Yeah.
Stop it.
Stop it.
That
exactly.
was that.
I understand where he's going, but no, nope.
I understand, you know, media people controlling some things, but come on now, let's not jump into crazy.
I agree.
Here.
An email at webradio@patriots.com. Kellen from Toronto says. Pete, great show. Listen daily online from Toronto, driving down from Toronto on Saturday for the weekend in Indy. We've heard a lot about how tough the Giants receivers will be for the Patriots secondary, but how did the Giants secondary match up with the Patriots receiving tight end core, assuming the health of Gronk? Look forward to your opinion. Go Pats. P.S. I went to high school with Nick Kayser. It's very interesting to hear your discussion this week of his inability to contain the Giants pass rush in 2008. Definitely the beginning of the end of his career with the Patriots. Yeah, in that particular game, Nick Kayser was, but Nick Kayser did a real good job in a lot of ways for that Patriots team, you know. He didn't have a good game against the Giants in 07, but he did some other good things that were pretty good. And as far as what did he ask me? Oh, the Giants secondary matchup with I don't think it matches up very well at all. I mean, Brady in November threw for 342 yards against them. Again, I'm not putting a lot of stock in that game, and two touchdowns. So, like I said, Gronk and Welker had huge games in that one. So, again, we'll see. Alonzo says, sick and tired. Thank God you're back, Pete. I can't take it anymore. You turn on ESPN and the talk is all about the Eli and Canton, and then you turn the NFL Network on and you hear everyone picking the Giants. And you turn back to ESPN and hear them picking the Giants as well. I understand you told us all to look at it as a comedy, but frankly, this comedy sucks. Okay, I'm done ranting. Even though I'm confident in our squad, I am very worried as well because of Gronk. He is painting a great picture with the media, but he's not, well, if not 100%, I feel our chances dampen quite a bit with the addition of McDaniels and... Now hearing that Ridley will play, do you think we might see more screenplays? Thanks for everything. You're the best. The Gronk issue, I think Gronk is going to be, he's not going to be 100%, but I don't know if anybody is going to be 100%. And what you're going to hear is this week, you're going to hear a lot of Dwight Freeney stories because he had a high ankle sprain that went into the halftime and it stiffened up on him, and that's what you're going to hear. And I'll counter that by saying Terrell Owens had a busted leg and nobody thought he was going to do anything in the Super Bowl and had 125 yards or more than that when the Patriots beat the Eagles. I mean, we're just not going to know. I just know this. He's going to be out there. He's going to start. And I think he's going to be pretty effective. And we'll see if they target his legs and see what they do. But he'll be out there starting. I have no doubt about it. So we'll see. 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398 is the number on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's get back to the phones and check in with our buddy Carl in Montreal. Hey, Carl.
Hey, what's happening, Pete, man?
Hey, Carl. Sunday cannot get here fast enough.
I know. 5 hours, 5 days, 1 hour, and 13 minutes till kickoff.
Yeah.
and let me tell you something, Pete, man. I mean, I get home today, and I was just checking to your show, and I'm seeing all good news. Gronk took the walking boot off.
Yep.
They're saying Vollmer's definitely going to, I don't know if he's going to start, but he's definitely going to play.
He won't start. He'll play, and Ridley's going to play.
And really, he's going to play. So that's good stuff. Obviously, probably not much action for Kevin Falk. Unfortunate, you know, one of my all-time favorite Patriots. But, you know, you can't. It's just a Super Bowl. I mean, you got to put your best out there, and I'm sure he knows that.
Yep.
Kevin Falk, LSU.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man.
Yep.
You know what, Pete? I was listening to that guy out there out in New York on Steve Summers 660.
Oh, Paul Schwartz. You listen on Steve Summers show on WFAN? Yeah.
Yeah, and I was, you know, in Montreal, you pretty much get that station very well in the car.
Yep.
So I'm driving home, pick up some food, and getting ready to watch the UFC. And this guy was so arrogant towards Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Unbelievable how, to this guy, his score is 38-24 Giants. There's not even a remote doubt in his mind
really?
They could lose.
That's not what he said on this show a few minutes ago. He said it would be Giants 27-20.
Who was that?
I said, if Paul Schwartz,
okay.
He said 27-20 Giants, and so he was much more, I'm sure on his hometown station, he was much more arrogant against the Patriots, like you said.
Oh, my God, I'm telling you, he was begging Patriot callers to call in and give him a reason why the game will, like, why the Patriots could win, and he's like, none of them can do it, and there's no way they're going to win.
Now, are you talking about Steve, the genius. Are you talking about Steve Sommers, or are you talking about Paul Schwartz?
No, Steve Sommers.
Oh, okay, yeah, all right.
The guy they call him the schmoon.
I know. Steve's been around a long time, yeah. He's the one that also believed in curses with the Red Sox. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous.
I'm going to call him up tonight, actually, and I'm going to tell him, you know what, you can make fun of all you want, buddy, but we're 2 months away from your precious Mets. Yeah. So what are they in store for, 70 wins this year? I'm sure he'll love that.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, Steve's not the kind of guy that's going to sit there and break down numbers for you and break down football. He's another one of the one of those tools in the media. It just, you know, goes, reads a couple of pages and that's it. He'll read the New York Post and the Daily News and get all his material from that. That's what those people do. That's what not just him. A lot of people do that.
Yeah, I know, exactly. You know, usually the guy's pretty good. I don't know. I guess maybe some Patriot guys called in and ticked him off. I don't really listen to him so much.
You know, before, when sports radio didn't exist, I mean, FAM was the only station. Growing up in Rhode Island, I mean, I listened all the time. And I used to listen to Steve.
Yeah, I actually liked
this is back in the 80s.
That took off Farrell, Scott Farrell. He was great.
I don't know. I couldn't handle him. I don't know. It just, he bothered me. But I'll tell you one Steve Sommers story. And this happened like in 86, 87, whenever Dallas Green was the manager of the Mets, around that time, and I'll never forget it because Steve used to do the overnights then. He'd do midnight to 5, and it was the same call. I still remember this. I remember this lady, Doris, from Bensonhurst would call. She had emphysema. She could tell she was smoking and talking on the phone. It was like the same 15 callers every night before I would fall asleep and listen. And one night he's talking to somebody, and all of a sudden, the operator does an emergency cut-in. Now, they don't do that. Just way before cell phones. Operator does an emergency cut-in during Steve's show. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, the operator says, it's a female operator. She said, we have an emergency phone call for Steve Sommers from a Dallas Green. She goes, I'm going to disconnect your call. And he's like, no, don't do that. And so obviously, it wasn't Dallas Green. But she goes, Steve says, don't you know who Dallas Green is? You know what he says and then he's like, no. He's like, well, he's the manager of the Mets. Don't you understand that? No one's going to break. He's not going to break into my show. And she's saying, I don't give a goddamn who Dallas Green is. He goes, no, that's really nice, operator. Swear on the air during my show. But I'm telling you, I can't do it justice. But if you call FAN and tell them to archive that show, I guarantee you they have that somewhere. It is one of the funniest 5 minutes of radio I've ever heard.
Okay.
Some nut caller calling in and claiming he was Dallas Green. And I don't know why I just thought of that. But I did used to listen to Steve the whole time. And Steve is what he is. He's a harmless guy. You're not going to get.
No, I know. And then he took an attack on, like, the guy's personal life. I mean, I was just over the top. You know what? I've been listening to a lot of the, like, you know, focus on how is Gronkowski going to perform. And I watched that Raven game again.
Yep.
You see that block on the first touchdown he did on Nada one-on-one?
Oh, pancaked him.
I wouldn't say pancaked him. He pancaked
Suggs. He pancaked Suggs.
But
yes.
Nada, he held him in his pad.
Absolutely.
And Ben Jarvis went right through the hole. And my thing is, you know, can he block like that on a bad ankle?
Well, I think you'd be able to. I mean, maybe not as effectively, but I think, look, you know, it's tough for me to say. I'm not a doctor. I can't sit here. Only time will tell. I mean, I can't say definitively what is going to happen. I just have a feeling that he's going to be okay. I think he's going to do a pretty good job.
And do you think he's going to have surgery, like, right after the game or the next day?
Something like that.
All right, man. Good stuff, man.
All right, Carl.
You know, win or lose, you're going to be around for what, next Tuesday?
Yes, I'll be around, and I'll be around, you know, at least next Tuesday, if not more next week. So I don't know, but definitely on Tuesday, win or lose, I will be back. So,
are you going to the game, Pete?
I am not going to the game.
You're not going.
No, they only took the PFW.
I hope
PFW
you enjoy
guys.
It, man. I hope we're all happy, and I'm bringing one buddy over who's a Bills fan. And believe me, he hates the Giants. He hasn't gotten over the 2019.
Oh, yeah.
Just like I haven't gotten over the perfect
Scott
season
Norwood.
Loss. So we'll put our powers together, and we're going to get this thing done, man.
All right, Carl. I appreciate it. I'll call back Thursday. Give me a prediction.
All the best, buddy.
All right, take buddy. Care. You too. Thanks a lot. 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. The other play no one was talking about for the Baltimore, finally, Teddy Bruschi brought it up. It's something I brought up here last Wednesday or Thursday, and Teddy brought it up on ESPN yesterday or the day before. And the play that Spikes made at an interception, you have to go back and see the game. This is what I brought up last Thursday. He got decked the play before that. I mean, absolutely blown away the play before
Dante
that.
Dante Leach.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Spikes' shoes
unloaded,
were still on the ground.
Unloaded on him. And there he was. And then the very next play, Spikes makes that. It was really more of a one-handed interception. You know, it really was. It was a great play that he made. But I'm telling you, that's the kind of resiliency, that's the kind of play that they should be showing. And they should get into more of that kind of analysis. Guys who got, you know, that kind of a play. But you're not going to see it. Gronk's blocking. And I'm not just saying for Patriot highlights. There's other things the Giants, I'm sure, that they've done, too, that you're not going to see. It's just all these flashover substance headlines. I can't stand it.
You know, when I was just listening to Carl there, talking about Ken Gronk block like that on a bum ankle, he's not going to go against anyone as big and physical and tough and all that with that front four.
Yeah.
Slow Odinata.
Yeah.
Not one. Like, I have all the respect in the world for the Giants line.
Yep.
I think you're going to see a lot of success on those wham block type of plays where you have.
Oh, that's why I think. That's why I think. I agree. That's why I think Law Firm and Danny are going to have some big games. I think they're going to have significant yardage. Jordan Nathan says, "Hey Pete, you sound so angry about the Giants media coverage. Just breathe. We're in the Super Bowl. Who cares what the NFL Network, ESPN cares? We know that this is a dead even game. Then balanced offensive play and the defense making plays can win it for the Pats. Thanks, Jordan from Athens. Oh, I mean, I'm not angry. I guess I am a little bit, but I just play it both ways. Just talk about both sides of the football. Let's see. Who's this from? Harry. Harry in Vegas. Heard your response about Nate Solder catching a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl, and I agree. I'm planning to take a small field bet on who will catch the first touchdown at 7-1, just in case. Another one I'm looking at is, will there be an overtime? Yes, it's +800. There's never been one in the Super Bowl in their history, so the odds are by far in my favor. With these two fairly even teams, do you think this could be the time? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, why not? You're getting great odds, so what the hell? Put $20 down on both or whatever, or more, if you can afford more, whatever it is. Yeah, no question about it. Let's see. Sterling says, is it Michigan, I think? Pete, all there is just generalizations by the NFL Network on the Giants pass, which I haven't heard one counter by any analyst of how to attack the pass rush. Their whole synopsis is the 2008 Super Bowl pass rush, so I guess Jason Pierre-Paul is Michael Strahan now. Yeah, no, I agree. That's what it's come down to. 508-298-0398. That's the number here on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go back to the phones. It's Calvina in Boston. Hi, you're next.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
I'm fine, Calvina. How are you?
I'm okay. thanks to the New York media. I would have been more okay.
Well,
but, you know, I just want to get to a point. You know, the New York Giants, you know, it seemed like they took a page out of the Patriots, you know, book some years ago about being an underdog. You know, I guess Justin Tuck, he ripped, you know, the guys, he's a great player. You can't take that away from him. He's probably going to be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you heard, but he ripped the Patriots' rolling rally thanks to the New York media, whoever the media was.
Yeah, I know.
That when, you know, Tom Brady had said, hopefully, you know, we'll, you know,
of course. Yeah.
You know, to have more people at a party, you know.
Yeah, they did, and it was ridiculous. So the headlines were all over the Post and the New York Daily News. And you know, it's just I try to get caught up in that. It's so ridiculous because Roll for the Giants said something similar. And
yeah, they were talking
it's a pep rally.
Week.
You know,
they got to talk trash last week, Pete.
Yeah, I know. They're still talking. The only trash they're talking, and I think it's going to backfire on them. They seem to think that Edelman is just going to be some little flea they're going to flick off their shoulder and go away.
Yeah.
And they're just going to be able to do whatever they want on them. And I guess they didn't watch last week's game. They watched three or four plays from last week, but didn't watch the other 22 plays where he was on the field covering Bolden. covering whoever he was covering and doing a pretty good job. But let him keep talking. Let him keep doing it. I know I've heard and seen this act before.
Yeah, me too. And you know, I just think it's a travesty that, you know, they have to take it. You know, they have to do, like, we all know that they hate the Patriots. Fine, you know, but it's, you know, to me, it's just a travesty.
It is, but you know, the players know better. Most of the players know better, even on both sides. Besides talking a little bit from Victor Cruz, but I think there's a mutual respect out there for this for both play for all the team. I just think the Patriots are going to be. They are going to be very highly motivated. I think
I'm hoping, buddy. I'm hoping. One more point.
Sure.
I want to make. Remember 2001?
Yep.
When we went to the Super Bowl and Brady's ankle was.
Yep.
I think what was it? A high ankle sprain.
Yeah, it was close. Yeah.
Trying to take his leg off.
Yep.
And they made a big deal about that.
Yep.
I know they play different positions, but they made a big deal out of Brady.
Yeah.
I think Gronk is going to be fine. You have a great day, Pete.
You too. Thanks a lot, Kevin. Appreciate it. Call back soon. 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. Got a chance to catch up here. I do have some open lines right now if you guys want to chime in. It's been busy all afternoon, but let me get some of these emails while I can. This is from Chris. Hey, Pete, people seem to forget about scoring defense. The Patriots, 15th, have a better scoring defense than the Giants, 25th. Yes, I brought that up last week. And like Andy Hart said, they were 14 points out of being a top 10 scoring defense. The last time I checked, games were won by the team that coached the least amount of points, not yards. That conceded the least amount of points, not yards. Love the show. Keep up the great work, Chris, from West Yorkshire in the U.K. P.S. After you read out my last email, I can't resist correcting you. Shire is pronounced sure or sheer. Depending on the country or your accent, the only Shire is the Lord of the Rings. And that's exactly what I was thinking. So, yeah, sheer. Excuse me. Yes, and I can't get Peter Jackson and the Lord of the Rings out of my head. But you're right. The best part was last week or 2 weeks ago when John was talking about Rook. Did you hear this, Matt? Rook is talking about he wants to visit New Zealand, right? So some, emailer, you know, kiddingly calls in and says, and, you know, names off some real towns, and then says, and don't forget to visit, you know, Hobbitville, Isengard, and
all that.
Rivendell. And he's like, oh, you know, I'll have to look those up, you know, see those. I said, they're part of the Lord of the Rings. I said, it was right when we were doing the crossover. I was dying. I go, not a fan of Lord of the Rings, are you, John? He said, no. Too bad, too. Three of the greatest movies ever made. Fantastic. Love the trilogy. Can't wait for The Hobbit to come out. By the way, I saw the Liam Neeson movie yesterday.
Which one? That?
The Gray.
Was that good?
Define good. I don't know. I'd wait for it. I'd wait for it on cable. I said The Girl with the Red Dragon Tattoo. Unbelievable.
I heard that movie.
Unbelievable.
Phenomenal.
Disturbing at times. Trust me, do not take your kids there and don't think you're going to. This is one of those movies where, you know, it's borderline. You know, I know 12- and 13-year-olds think they can go see rated R movies, but there's not one I would recommend taking your kids to see. Some disturbing part, but a great movie. Great movie. Can't wait for the other two to come out. Let's see. Back here on email at webradio@patriots.com. Gene says, hi, Pete, Kevin, or Matt. Of the 12 teams in the playoffs, the Patriots' defense is fourth defense against the rush. The Giants have the eighth. Yards against the pass, the Pats are third. The Giants are fourth. Patriots points per game, the Pats are second, and the Giants are fourth. I just do not understand what these people are coming from. Yeah, well, they don't want to look at the playoff game because people are saying that the Broncos don't exist. Even though they beat the Steelers, the Broncos did. That game didn't exist. Don't you know that? It doesn't exist, you know? If it was, had Denver won, of course it would have been, you know, that would have existed. But the hypocrisy is just, it's absurd. So they refused to count Tom Brady's stats in that game. They refused to count the Patriots' defense against the number one rushing offense in that game. But, well, that's what they do. Let's see. Jay from Lakeland, Florida says, Pete, what the hell are all these people from talking about the Giants? We didn't get here because the other teams we played had a defense, and our defense improved games after game. They need to remember that we are here, and where are the so-called great defensive teams? Tired of all the BS. Tell the other callers don't be a hater. Just point out the damn facts. And the damn facts are that the defenses are, I mean, if we look at the, again, it's just based on the net numbers, not overall. We know better. But the nitwits out there who want to talk about the Patriots defense in the regular season should be talking about the Giants defense in the regular season too. Like I said, okay, Patriots are 31st against the pass. The Giants were right there at 29th, okay? Rush defense, not even close. Patriots were much better. Giants were last. So you won't hear that, though. You won't hear that. You won't hear points allowed. Patriots, not, you know, Giants were 25th and Patriots 15th. You won't hear that. So where is this great Giant defense I'm hearing about? People, and again, I'm not saying that they don't belong there. I'm not. They made plays. But the Packers dropped 8 passes and fumbled 3 times, lost 3 fumbles. They dropped 8 of those balls, and if they caught 4 of them, they probably would have won the game. Kyle Williams, you know what happened with Kyle Williams. And I'm not saying the Giants didn't deserve it, but they got breaks. The Patriots got breaks too. They made their own, but I think the Patriots more made their own breaks. Great defense is my ass. I told you. Don't talk to me about San Francisco against the Giants, all right? And they got to Eli. They definitely did. They pounded him. But Drew Brees torched them for 463 yards. It wasn't for the Saints losing 3 turnovers. So that's why this game is going to be a lot more high scoring, I think, than people think. I'm not saying 42-40, but I think one team will be in the 30s, the Patriots, and one team will be in the high 20s. That's the way I'm looking at it.
One thing you got to look at, though, kind of looking back, and I didn't realize it until you were just kind of going over it. These are both teams that cause turnovers.
Yeah.
I think that's where people are calling them great. You know, they're winning games by causing turnovers. And I think that could be one of the huge keys.
Well, that's right. I think that it will be. That's what I said. I think the team that takes care of the ball the best is the team that is going to win. The Patriots didn't do that in November, even though they had better numbers offensively. They didn't do it. They lost the turnover battle. Brady fumbled at the 10-yard line. That was huge. And then Eli had an interception in the end zone also that Arrington had. But they won the turnover battle. That's why they won the game. Despite Nixon Bradshaw not being there, you know, the Patriots had the lead with, you know, a minute to go, a minute 23 to go.
Yeah, I just didn't realize that about the Giants' defense in this
playoffs. Yeah, well, Patriots are number one in the AFC and number 3 overall in turnover differential. And the Giants are right. The Giants are pretty good too. So, but people do not take into consideration turnover differential. It's just as big. It's bigger than net yardage. It's a bigger stat than net yardage. Back to the A-Ticket hotline at 508-298-0398. Brandon's in California. Hey, Brandon.
Yeah, how's it going, Pete?
Good, Brandon. What's going on?
Well, first off, you have horrible taste in movies. How could you say that the girl with the tattoo, dragon tattoo, was a good movie? I thought it was horrible.
Really? I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, but...
Why did you think it was horrible?
I just felt like it was so boring. Like, it was just a build-up.
You thought that movie was boring? Really?
Yeah, like, I mean, it had some, like, you know, good parts. But I thought it was going to be an action movie because I never read the book or anything. So I was hoping for, like, you know, shooting everywhere and all that.
Well, but, it's all... Everybody has their own opinion, to each his own. But I thought it was a pretty good movie. And... The Gray, I would recommend. Wait till it comes out on DVD.
But, yeah, I've been watching ESPN, and all I see is Giants players there. Like, when they have something else to do, like read their playbooks instead of going out on ESPN shows,
Well, I mean, the Patriots had their media day today also. Theirs was just earlier. The Giants was later. So, no, the Giants are a bigger story for a lot of people for the national media because they have nothing better to do than keep bringing up 2007, 2007. That's all it is. It's 2007.
Because I have a feeling that they're not as focused as the Patriots will be, like, throughout the whole week. I just feel like they're probably going to be out there partying and all that, you know, hanging out late.
Who is?
By the Patriots, the Giants will be.
Oh, I seriously doubt that. Tom Coughlin, no way. That will not be the case, my friend. Trust me. And I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if either team switched their hotels on Saturday night. That's not uncommon either. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll go about 90 miles away from the game.
That is it. Thanks.
All right, Brandon. Thanks for the call. 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. I'll take another quick break, then we'll come back. And I want to let you guys hear from Ocho Cinco as well, maybe Danny Woodhead if we get time. And then I'll get to my I got some more emails and some Facebook messages to read as well. It's all part of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com.
Droid.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Gear up for the Super Bowl at the official team store, the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise anywhere, from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, game day party gear, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
That just doesn't get old, does it? I don't care. The Jets are, you know, that just, where is Rex Ryan anyway? Have you seen Rex Ryan? Is he down at Radio Row? Is Rex Ryan anywhere? Somebody down there, is he modeling a new, you know, set of sandals or something? Something where his toes and feet are exposed or what? I'm not sure. Maybe he's going around picking belly button linen trying to market that. I'm not sure, but unbelievable. Where is Rex Ryan? I miss him.
Eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers?
Yep, that's exactly what you're doing. 508-298-0398 here on the number to get to me on the ASIC and hotline. We'll get to some more emails in just a second. I want to get George off the phone in Pennsylvania. Hey, George.
Hey, how's it going, Pete?
Good, George. What's happening?
Man, I'm in York, Pennsylvania, geography alone.
Yes.
Yeah, right next to Baltimore.
Ah.
But I was explaining to another Patriots fan, and now I'm going to explain to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying the national media is crapping all over the Patriots.
I don't think they're crapping all over the Patriots.
Okay.
I don't think they are giving, they're not talking about the Patriots front seven or the Patriots running game. They're not crapping all over the Patriots.
Let me make my point.
But go ahead.
What does most of America want to hear?
I don't know what most of America wants to hear. I would think they want to hear a fair and balanced analysis of both teams. But of course, a lot of them want to hear
the Patriots are going to get throttled in the Super Bowl because in the past there's been a lot of disappointment in a lot of regions, and people are going to stop watching if you give the Patriots too much.
Trust me. Look, no, I understand. I understand the marketing schemes of all these nitwits in the national media. It's not just with the Patriots. They did it for years with the Yankees, and they did it with the Reds. Any team that wins consistently over a period of time, they all get the same treatment for the most part. But I think the piling on, it's because they don't get a lot of sexy answers from this organization. I think they have been unfairly portrayed for over a decade, for not over a decade, but for a good 5 years now in the national media. And a lot of it has to do with personal grudges and Belichick not giving the media the certain type of answers they're looking for. That's what it's all about.
I haven't watched ESPN or the NFL channel all since Monday, because when Eli Manning is going to get the MVP 70-some-odd percent of 70-some-odd percent of the people who said this is who the Super Bowl MVP is going to be,
yep.
Let's be real. That's ridiculous.
Of course it is, but it makes for good television.
Well, it was good talking to you, Pete.
All right, George.
Good luck next Sunday.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. 508-298-0398. One email on patriots.com here, webradiopatriots.com. Hi, Pete. I was lucky enough to be about 70% accurate in my picks all year for every game, pre-playoffs. I didn't fare as well in the playoffs than I had figured it would be, the Patriots versus Saints. No way did I think we would play the Giants. Against all logic, I have a feeling Patriots will score big this week, 41-1 to the Giants 27. I know that sounds ludicrous, especially since the first half was such a low-scoring affair in the first meeting, but it's going to be more explosive Patriots offense than people expect this week. Thanks for all your shows this season, Pete. Higgy and Hopkins. No, Higgy, I don't think, like I said, if this game gets one-sided, I think the Patriots can blow out the Giants. I don't think the Giants can blow out the Patriots. And Paul Schwartz even kind of alluded to that from the New York Post. If the game is one-sided, I think it'll most definitely be on the Patriots' side. And 41-27, that's pretty one-sided in the Super Bowl. I know it's only two scores, but that's pretty good. You know, and I think it's possible. I just think it might be just a tad bit more low-scoring than that, just a little bit. Like I said, I think the Patriots are in the 30s and the Giants are in the high 20s. I think you get the Giants right on. But I think the Patriots might be just maybe a touchdown or less. However, see, and the thing about, like I said, the thing about Eli and the thing about Tom Brady is the still, and I still think New York Giants fans, if they're honest about it, there's still, and I said this last week, that little voice in the back of your head that when Eli drops back to pass, you know he's good for two really, really, really bad throws in a game, sometimes more. And he went through more than several games this year where he did that. And I just don't think that's going to happen with Brady. And I do think the Patriots are going to win the turnover battle, and that's why they're going to win. Brandon on Facebook says, hey, Pete, it's funny how the Giants are appearing on ESPN talking trash, and pretty much everything they are talking is taking the wrong road to the Super Bowl by partying and all, that this trip is not about having a party. It's about business, and it seems like Giants aren't there for that. I can't wait for the game. Well, I don't know about that because everybody was at St. Elmo's Fire, whatever that place is down. I mean, both teams were there last night. I heard Welker talking about having a little party, and that's last night. I mean, now I think it's different. I think the rest of the week is going to be all business for both teams.
Kevin was actually there last night.
I heard
with, some of the PFW guys, and he said that it was like a who's who.
Everybody was there.
Of
there's nowhere else to go.
The teams.
Where else is it to go in Indianapolis downtown? I mean, that's the thing. That's the big place. Lucio says, Pete, one thing I haven't heard the media talk about is the Patriots' goal line defense, which the last time I checked is pretty damn good. And if the Giants settle for threes, they're going to be a long it's going to be a long trip home. Keep up the good work, Pete. Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. That's Baltimore. Lucio says, Pete, one thing I haven't heard the media talk about. Oh, no, I just read that one. No, Lundahl says, sorry, but your guest is a tool. He's a media product. I don't want to disrespect him, but he's really off talk. At first, he brought up no relevant points. Giants, most complete team. How? They are dead last in running the ball, and that's not just it. I'm with you. And there are a lot of people that think like Paul does. And I thought he brought some good points, but I'm not going to say he's a tool. He was kind enough to come on the show, and, you know, he knows his stuff. Don't have to always agree with it. I'm not sure where people are coming from that the Giants are a more complete team. I really don't understand that. And what they're basing it on is because they'll tell you the Giants had a tougher road to get to the Super Bowl than the Patriots. That's what they'll tell you. So if you want to believe that, fine. You know, if not, if you want to look at the entire body of work for the last night, I don't know how you can say the Patriots aren't the better team. I just told you all the defensive stats all favor the Patriots, except for one net pass defense, and it's 31-29. Everything else favors New England. Offense is not even close. So, I don't know. I mean, the Giants were dead last running the ball, and the pass offense was in the top five this year. So I don't know where this overall body of work stuff comes from by favoring the Giants. Somebody's going to have to, you know, enlighten me. If you're going to base it off the Packers dropping a bunch of passes and Kyle Williams fumbling on two punts, you know, be my guess. But I'm just not seeing where they are overall the better team. I think they're just about dead even, to be honest with you, the way both are playing right now, as I've said. But you want to take in the entire season, the entire body of work, the Patriots are better. It's just all right. They had the better record. They had better defense. They had a better offense. All right, maybe give the Giants a little bit of an edge on special teams, on kickoff returns or punt returns, possibly. That's about it. All right, 508-298-0398. Actually, let's hear from a lot. I mean, everybody's heard from all the big names out there, but let's see. I want you to hear from Chad Ochocinco earlier today. He did not have his little podium. This was all done standing up, which not a lot of guys do. A lot of guys don't do this. You see some in the stands. Sometimes you see some coaches or coordinators in the stands while media day is going on, whether they're being in the booth. But there's not a lot of players that go walking around doing this kind of thing. But I give Chad credit. So here's a Chad Ochocinco early today down in Indy.
I'm proud of you.
I've been good all year.
No. You've been great all year.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I'm proud of you. As a man, as my little brother, you know I remember when.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of you. Has it been tough on you?
No, not really.
Emotionally?
No. No, because if it was tough on me, if it was emotionally draining, I think I would have spoke out like I would have done in the past.
Right.
I took this as a challenge, as a lesson. I think it was a test from you-know-who upstairs. You know, will he
no,
be able
say
to handle
who he is.
God,
there
you know?
You go.
Will he be able to handle himself the right way in different circumstances when he's not that guy, when he's not that main focal point? Will he be able to handle it? And I think I did extremely well, regardless of what everybody might say.
Forget everybody. It's me and you.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I did just that.
Would you have it any other way? Would you rather have 100 catches?
Mm-hmm.
The Ochocinco that we all know and love, mm-hmm. or to be right where you are in the situation that you're in?
Mm-hmm. I'd rather be him. Mm-hmm. I didn't put up all the numbers. I didn't did all that. You know, one of the things I came in this year, which really I was happy about, is this will be one of the few times, well, really the only time, that I won't be home at the Martin Luther King Parade.
Right.
Because I'm always home that first week of January. Mm-hmm. Always. You know? And it's so much bigger than what everybody else is thinking about. They're thinking about the individuals. You know, if I thought about all that, I would have got cut week three complaining about the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? So, I mean, it's been a joy.
As a man, take me through the maturation process as a man, because I've seen you mature. Mm. I've seen you grow spiritually as well as psychologically. And this had to be a test. And do you ever think to yourself, Lord, why you allow me to go through this year?
Nah. Mm-mm. He did it for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
He did it for a reason. Because, I mean, let me tell you what happens. Is I'm in New England.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about New England, you think of the elite of the elite when it comes to NFL teams. Now, if God put me in this situation and he puts me to this test and I act up on the biggest stage of them all with the elite of the elite, what comes after that?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I going after that?
Right.
I mean, he already put me here. Ain't no sense of going back.
Right.
You understand? So I'm seeing in a whole different light with everybody else.
Has it been humbling?
Yeah, big time.
I mean, we're standing up.
Yeah.
It ain't no podium. We standing up.
A podium? What I need a podium for?
I just want to hear that. They need to hear that.
Hold up. What I need a podium for?
Okay.
I got 3 million followers on Twitter, right?
Right.
That's my podium.
That's your podium. That's your stage.
I can reach more people than anybody standing around me right now with a click of a button.
Right.
I don't need a podium.
But you're human.
Yeah.
You're a man. You have feelings. You have children.
Mm-hmm.
You're passionate about what you do.
Very.
It has to be. Somewhat humbling, Chad. It has to be.
You know what I've been through to get here?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I came from Dade County.
Right.
This place called Liberty City.
Right.
Where the odds were against me. All through life, growing up. You think I'm finna complain after all I've been through to get to this point?
I asked Tom Brady one question. I didn't ask him about who's gonna win. I did ask him about Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ask him about this and that and where he stands in history, but I asked him one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can Chad get a ball? He said you had a great week of practice. The promise is there.
Mm-hmm.
Will Chad get a ball?
Are you asking Chad? How you going to ask Chad if Chad going to get a ball?
Tell me something. Give me hope. I'm with you. I'm Team Ocho. You little brother to me.
What you want me to say?
I want you to say.
But you're trying to, trying to get me in trouble.
I'm not going to get you in trouble.
Yeah, you're
I'm not
going to
get you in trouble. I want you to say, I'm going to do what I need to do to be where I need to be. And if he throw it to me, it's up to me. But I'm going to do my job.
I'm going to do my job. That's the easy part.
Yeah, Deion Sanders and Chad Ochocinco and, you know, Deion. You know, Deion's Deion. But, you know, very humbling words by Chad Ochocinco. And I think that's the way it's been all year. And it's just so hard to not see him practice. And besides the media, you know, the 10 minutes every day of stretching and all that stuff. I mean, I hope he gets a chance to make a play in this game. But like I was telling John Rook in the crossover, I don't even think he's going to dress. And as far as the sentimentality part of it goes, I know Bill is well aware of those kind of, you know, stats and players and all that stuff, but this is the Super Bowl, and he is going to put his best team out there. And I'm not saying Chad is 100% not going to play. I just don't expect it, and especially now that Vollmer and Ridley are going to play. I don't know why we should expect Chad Ochocinco is going to be on the field. And if he does dress, what kind of impact he's going to make? I hope he does. I hope I'm dead wrong. My gut feeling tells me he will not dress for the game. We won't know, you know, until later on in the week, and may not even know before kickoff, until 3 hours before kickoff when they release the inactives. So we'll see then. I hope he gets a chance. I really do. It would be a great, great story if he could catch a touchdown pass in this game from Brady. But I'm not delusional. I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't know how anybody can have these high expectations, and I know the conspiracy secret weapon theories, but, Matt, I don't see it. I just don't.
Could you imagine if all of a sudden he comes out and has one of those, like, old-school Bengals games?
It would be. You talk about the natural and all the great endings in sports movie history. I mean, wow. It would be unbelievable. If he caught, like, two touchdown passes and was MVP and had, like, 89 yards, I mean, it would really be something.
If that happened, I would love to hear the audio of, like, him mic'd up, which he won't be.
Yeah.
But could you just even imagine after all this that he went through all year, not, you know,
yeah,
being inactive,
yeah,
not catching passes,
yeah,
career lows in every statistical category.
I, you know, but the scary part about the whole thing to me, why is, go back to the Denver playoff game. He was in for one play. One play. That's it. He was only on the field for one play. What does that tell you? That's a playoff game against the Broncos. And, like, we know he doesn't play in the hurry-up because he can't grasp it. That's got to be the only – it's got to be the reason.
Did you hear what Warren Sapp and Marshall Faulk were saying about him? I know you hate them.
Yeah, I know, but
– they were talking about after Deion spoke with him, they shot it back up to,
yeah,
those guys. And they were talking about how, you know, oh, he's talking about Twitter. He's talking about Twitter. It's what he knows and loves. And Warren Sapp goes, yeah, because you don't know this playbook.
Yeah. Well, I think it's obvious. It's obvious. Or he can't grasp it. And I'm not saying he's lazy or didn't work hard or any of that stuff in practice, because you hear other players say he did. And it's not even a hint that he didn't. But something's not right. It's just something's not there.
It might just be the situation, too. Look at.
Yeah. I mean it's a tough offense to pick up. But, I mean, Julian Edelman.
That, but look at Gronkowski, Hernandez,
yep,
Welker, Branch.
Yep.
At best, he's your fifth option.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But Edelman, it gets those snaps,
right,
not him. And you got to believe it's going to be Edelman again for the most part. I think the question is it Tyquan Underwood that gets activated? Because I do think they'll have another receiver. It was a Tyquan Underwood, or is it going to be him?
I think it'll be him.
I hope you're right. If it is him, even if he does get activated, I'm still not sure how much he's going to get. How much playing time he's going to see. I don't know how we can expect him to have any more than what we've seen. In the last game he was activated in the playoffs against Denver, he had one snap. Terrence says, hey, Pete, could you talk about the fact that the Giants beat the Packers? I didn't see that game, but here's my concern. The Pats and Packers seem to be comparable in both offense, very good, and defense, very bad. Shouldn't we be concerned that the Giants have already handled a team very similar to the Patriots and on the road to boot? I hope I'm wrong, but I'm not too optimistic about the Pats' chances. And I understand what you're saying, and you're not alone, but you have to go back and look at that game. the Packers uncharacteristically turned a fumble, lost three turnovers, including Aaron Rodgers lost a fumble for the first time all year. They dropped between 6 and 8 passes, depending on what stat you want to believe. I saw with my own, I counted 8. They dropped 8. You catch half of those passes, and it might be a completely different game. So the Packers were uncharacteristically not focused for whatever reason. And that's what it came down to. Giants made a couple nice plays on defense, but the Packers beat themselves in that game. A lot of it was about the Packers not executing. It wasn't like they came with all these crazy defensive schemes and guys weren't open. Guys were open. Rodgers threw the ball to them. They just dropped it. So I wouldn't put a lot of stock in that one either. That particular game, the way that went, you know, the Giants capitalized. The fumbles were killer. The fumbles were more killers than the picks. And the same thing with that with Drew Brees against San Francisco. The losing the fumbles were just killer. All right, see if we can sneak one more call in on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Tony's up next. Hey, Tony.
Hey, what's going on, Pete?
Hey, Tony. How you doing?
I'm going all right. I just want to touch on a few things.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys remember back in the game on 07, the play with Tyree caught the ball off the helmet.
Yes, how could
Does anyone else
that?
Feel like that he should have been down by contact? By that, I mean Eli. You know, if you look at it.
Tony? No, you're going to make me upset here because you're putting me. I'm going to have to go to my happy place because when I talk about this play, it's infuriating. I think more at the time. I think if that play happened today, they would have blown the whistle.
Yeah.
And I think back then, probably half the officials would have ruled it a sack. Although I'm not sure of that late in the Super Bowl game. But I agree with you. When you see that game over and over, you see that play, and you see how Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, stopped the forward progress and had his hand on his shirt 3 times and. I still don't know how he got out of it, but he did. They let it go. He threw a Hail Mary, a wounded duck, and Tyreek came down with it, and the rest is history. But I agree with you. I think a lot of refs might have ruled it a sack there, but it was not to be that day. It was still amazing how he got out of it, but he did.
Yeah, I mean, and also, you know, Gronk's a little hurt, but people are forgetting that, we still got Hernandez, and we still got Wes Welker, and, you know, Deion Branch.
Yep.
And, you know, as you said, you know, you listen to ESPN and all these other shows, these guys, they mention us. But, you know, as you said, I don't think anyone else in the United States likes the New England or Boston area, especially within the last decade, what we've done.
Yeah, well, that's a big part of it. It happens. And, Tony, I got to go because I'm up against the clock. I appreciate it. Call back tomorrow. It's right near 6 o'clock. Yeah, I'm with you. And it's like that for a bit. But what is happening in Boston, the New England region of sports is just, it's unprecedented. And I just hope everybody appreciates it because even if the teams haven't won titles over the last decade, they've been right there for the most part, whether it's semifinals or finals. I mean, all 4 major teams. So feel blessed, New England sports fans. Feel blessed. Back with more tomorrow here on Patriots.com and the Pete Shepherd Show. Thanks for Matt for producing this whole thing. And I am back tomorrow at 4 for more fun and frivolity and God only knows what else here on Patriots.com.
Pete Shepherd, The Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.